Have your Bible out. Make that space your own as we encounter God together in worship. And so I will be lighting my candle here in my office as Jack will be lighting the candles in the sanctuary. As a reminder of God's presence with us in this time. So let us prepare our hearts as we listen to the prelude. So welcome to Grace United Church of Christ, our virtual worship. Whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And we're so glad that you could join us on this seventh Sunday after Pentecost. Special thanks before we get going to Jim, who's running the technology, to Jack, who's in our sanctuary and our liturgists, to Terry, who has brought flowers into our sanctuary space to make that still beautiful while we are away. And we also give thanks for Perry, our pianist, who has provided us with beautiful music to think from. So if there are no other things to be lifted up right now, I would ask that Jack lead us in a call to worship.
We come to celebrate God's blessings to us.
Surely, God is in this place.
We come to open ourselves to God's guidance and love.
Surely, God is in this place.
We come to see more clearly God's presence in our lives.
Surely, God is in this place.
We come to see God in this community of seekers.
Surely, God is in this place.
We come to pray, praise, and offer ourselves to God.
Surely, God is in this place. Let us worship.
Our first reading today comes from the Psalms, Psalm 139, verses 1 through 12, and 22 through 24. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Next reading comes from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 19. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching the heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel.
Thank you, Jack, for reading us the scripture lessons for this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Jacob did not know the Lord was in that place on the mountain. He fell asleep, abandoned, all alone, but then he woke up. He realized, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." This morning, we'll be talking about waking up. What does it mean to wake up to know God is in the most ordinary of places, like our homes? What does that mean for our lives today as we try to endure a global pandemic? Our lesson from Genesis is a brief yet powerful story within this larger narrative that surrounds Jacob, son of Isaac and grandson of Abraham. But from the beginning of the lectionary text, we're left with some questions. Why was Jacob all alone on top of this mountain? And why was he far away from the comfort of his family and his people? You see, Jacob's older brother Esau was of age to receive a blessing from their father Isaac. The blessing was his birthright as the oldest male child, effectively making him the one in charge of the family since his father was getting older in age. The blessing also came with his fair share of servants and, of course, land and wealth. But Jacob and Jacob's mother, Rebekah, did not want Esau to get the blessing. Through trickery of disguise and with the help of Isaac's failing eyesight, Jacob tricks his father into giving him the blessing instead of his brother. Esau barges in, but it is too late. Isaac had already blessed Jacob. Because of his brother's betrayal, Esau is angry with the turn of events and threatens to kill his brother. But Jacob narrowly escapes with the help of his mother. Jacob is forced to flee eastward where his mother's ancestors come from, hoping to find sanctuary in another kingdom. So there he is, walking east, all alone. He had all the time in the world to think about the consequences of his actions. He had time to turn over and over in his head how he had let down his family, how he stole his brother's birthright, how he damaged his relationship with his brother, and to top it all off, how he couldn't go back home, at least right now. He was all alone, walking east, not knowing where he was going. The word I would use to describe Jacob's condition is vulnerable, not only because he's meandering through the wilderness, but he is deeply vulnerable to his own thoughts as he processes his new reality. Yes, he may have created the situation by his actions, but regardless, he finds himself in a personal crisis. It is a crisis about belonging. Who does he belong to now? Who will support him? Will he be able to endure through this trauma? And the mental toll of these questions should not be taken lightly. Anyone who has had to ask these questions understands how quickly you begin to doubt yourself or find hope in your situation. You are left to doubt whether you are worthy of love or if life is possible after this situation. Jacob is struggling with all of these thoughts as the sun sets in the wilderness on that first day. Maybe you feel like Jacob these days. Maybe this week in particular was exhausting, where you felt like you were wandering the wilderness of your own thoughts. Like Jacob, maybe you are in need of rest. Maybe you're questioning your worth. The story goes on. Jacob finds a suitable spot on the ground to stay the night. There's nothing special about this spot. this place on the ground, except it happens to be where the light is in short supply and where he is most tired and in need of rest. Exhausted from traveling and thinking, he puts a nearby rock under his head and falls asleep. And that is where he dreams. Many of you know this story. In his dream, Jacob pictures this long ladder or staircase that stretches from the mountain up to the heavens. Ascending and descending are angels, but they don't serve any real purpose in the story. They ignore Jacob as they commute between the earthly realm and the heavenly realm. But Jacob turns from the staircase of the angels to find that on the mountain, right beside him, is God. Jacob dreams that God is not high in the heavens above, but is directly beside Jacob in his loneliness. And then God speaks. God reminds Jacob of God's steadfast faithfulness and the covenant that God made to Abraham and Isaac, and affirms that God's faithfulness and promise continue to live in him, Jacob, even now, even in the uncertainty of what life will bring him, even in the mental exhaustion of turning over and over his situation. Jacob wasn't in a house of worship, or for that matter, in a house at all, but in an ordinary place outside, and God met him there. God transformed the ground that Jacob was on to be holy ground. And at his most vulnerable and difficult point of his life, God says to Jacob in verse 25, "Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go." Maybe that's something you need to hear this morning. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. At the sound of these words, Jacob wakes up. He wakes up, and not just from sleep. He wakes up to the presence and assurance that God is by his side, not only on the mountaintop, but is with him and will go with him into the unknown. This leads Jacob to realize, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. It could be said that Jacob fell asleep to God's love for him, fell asleep to God's purpose for him, fell asleep to God's faithfulness. But it was God's grace that woke him up, and God's grace that reminds Jacob that he is not alone, and his life has meaning and worth, and nothing he can do will ever change God from claiming him. He woke up to find himself in the house of God the whole time. For much of the Judeo-Christian tradition, there has been a belief in what scholars call temple theology, which understands God to be only present in the temple. More specific, that is the temple in Jerusalem. To be in the temple was to be in the very presence of God. God does not leave the temple. God is not accessible beyond the temple. That is the house of God. No exceptions. We see this in the Hebrew scriptures when those of the Jewish faith would make pilgrimages to the temple. We see this in the time of Jesus when scribes and temple leaders discredit Jesus, who claims to be one with God but isn't in the temple structure. Like all theology, events change our understanding of God. In crisis, we come to understand God with a better clarity. In 586 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple and took a number of Israelites back to Babylon. Along with the crisis that enslaved Israelites were found in a foreign land, they underwent a theological crisis of, if the temple is destroyed, is God destroyed? If the house of God is no more, has their God failed them? If God is gone, who will support them? And to this crisis, we hear God's response in Isaiah chapter 41, who says this to the exiles. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, do not fear, I will help you. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue is parched with thirst, I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. The crisis of COVID has changed our reality. And much like Jacob and the Babylonian exiles, we may rightly be grieving the damage that continues to be done in our world and in our lives. We may feel the urgency to return to our church building as we experience loneliness or vulnerability, but nothing has changed. In fact, the virus is worse than it ever has been. To risk infection would be to ignore the sacredness of the life gifted to us by the Creator. It would be to ignore the ministry of Jesus, who taught us to have concern for our neighbor's well-being. To risk infection would risk the very breath God breathed into us at birth. Friends, we must preserve life at all costs, and it has and will have costs. We are in a crisis, but Scripture tells the same story with different characters. In a crisis, God shows up. God gives strength and peace to those who wake up to God's presence in their lives. We know that God is not limited to our sanctuary. God is not limited to 1185 Pleasantville Road, Lancaster, Ohio. But God meets us where we are at. In our homes, at the store, on our back porch. Like Jacob, we too are reminded that through prayer, that God's faithfulness is with us and keeps us wherever we go. We too are reminded that God's promise lives in us as it has with all those who have come before us. Even now, we have hope and have assurance that God's love will strengthen us to see better days. If you keep reading the story in Genesis, Jacob doesn't know what the end is, or really where he is going, but he is filled with a new sense of vocation that allows him to carry on. Supported by God, he is able to endure through this low point in his life, to experience life in its fullest. This gift of waking up is offered to us every single day, every minute, every breath we take, no matter where we are. And God is waiting for us to wake up. When we do, the Spirit will fill our lungs with what we need to carry on. And I want to leave you with this. A medical doctor will prescribe medication to heal your body, which I have no credentials or authorization to do so. But as a spiritual doctor of sorts, I want to prescribe something for your spiritual health. If you find yourself wandering these days, if you find yourself tired or uncertain, begin with one dose of rest. It can be in the most ordinary place. It doesn't matter. God will meet you no matter where you choose to rest. If you need sleep, sleep. If you need fresh air, go outside. If you're hungry, eat something that gives you joy, but rest. Feel God's presence beside you. Listen for what God may be saying to you at that moment. Reach out to God's hand that is already stretching out. Feel God's touch that is with you in this. Rest. Spend as much time as you need. God has promised to be with you always. Rest. And remember that no matter how old or young you are, God has promised to be with you forever, and God has claimed you as God's child. So may you wake up this week. May you find rest and say, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. Amen. I invite you to join with us in our next hymn, and the words are in your bulletin. So we invite you to join along with us. As we enter into the joys and concerns of our pastoral prayer, some of you may have heard about the passing this week of Gary Culp. Gary has been the organist here for 51 years. So I know this is a difficult moment for us all. And so we keep Gary's family in our prayers this morning. We keep friends. And we keep all those that knew and were touched by Gary's life, especially in prayer. Later on today, Jim will post the obituary on our Facebook page so people will have the information. But I also want to highlight, if you want to pay your respects, how they are doing that at this time. So they're going through Frank E. Smith Funeral Home, and they have calling hours on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., with the funeral service at 1 p.m. But I want to read some of the rules since we are in this weird time of COVID. And again, this is all in the obituary, but just want to let you know. A funeral service will take place on Wednesday at 1 p.m. at Frank E. Smith Funeral Home, officiated by Pastor Roger Hale. Family and friends may call 2 hours prior to the service at the funeral home. Due to COVID-19, seating is limited. Masks are required and practice social distancing. We will be broadcasting the service live via the funeral home's Facebook page. Burial will follow at Hampson Cemetery in Pleasantville. And again, we'll get that out to everyone. But if those are, you can find information on how to pay your respects. Other prayers to lift up this morning. Jim's father turns 86 on Tuesday, so we keep him in our prayers, and we hope that he can celebrate. in a good way. And we also keep in our prayers this morning frontline workers, those who are enduring in the hot spots of COVID-19. We keep doctors and nurses and hospital staff and janitors and all those that are doing the hard labor right now to bring healing. I'll also ask for prayers. Our baby is due tomorrow, but as many of you know, babies kind of work on their own schedule some days. And so from my understanding, they aren't here yet, but we do ask that you keep us in your prayers this week as we are expecting any moment the birth of our first child. So let us come to God in a moment of prayer. Gracious God, beside us, God within us, you constantly reach out to us and long to bring comfort and peace. You are faithful to your promises and continue to remind us when we forget you are near. We give thanks that no matter where we physically find ourselves in the world, either in the sanctuary or at our home or in nature, you meet us where we are, attentive to our needs and all of our worries. You meet us in joy and happiness. You meet us in our stress and anxiety. You meet us in good health and in failing health. You meet us even when it is not known to us. But surely, surely you are in this place now. God, we struggle to truly believe your promise, especially in these days where we long to be back with friends and family and in our sanctuary. We understand the needs to keep everyone safe, but we want you to know that this is difficult for us. God, with you beside us, we pray for those in need of your presence this morning. We pray for doctors, nurses, hospital staff, and those caring for patients. We pray for frontline workers. We pray for essential workers that have to pick between life or livelihood. We pray for teachers and students as schools prepare how to open next month. We pray for those who feel isolated or overwhelmed by life and find themselves alone on that mountaintop. Listening, God, we also lift up and celebrate the life of Gary Culp. We pray that you surround friends and family with your presence and your peace. God, we celebrate Jim's father, whose birthday is later this week. We pray for frontline workers once again, and we pray for the arrival of Jessica and our first child. And now in this moment of silence, we lift up the unspoken prayers that are on all of our hearts. And we pray all of this in the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We are in the point of our worship where we look at giving and the reflection on giving. It's a friendly reminder that our work as church continues even in these times. And so we ask that if you're able to give, give as you can or as you are able to do that. There's a couple ways you can give. You can give by mailing it to the church office, by bringing it in to the church office. There's guidelines in your newsletter about how to do that. You can also go online and set it up where you can have it withdrawn from your bank account, which is what I choose to do. It's very easy. And there is a link in your bulletin to that. And also there's a link in the chat of the Zoom if that's an easy way for you to give. And if you have questions, feel free to reach out to the office staff. We would love to get you set up for that. And this week I thought, people are still giving, our mission still continues, so I thought we would have a prayer of dedication today for the gifts that we're giving. So I invite you to join me in the prayer of dedication. Loving God, we offer back to you what we have been given, our treasure, our time, and our lives. Bless our gifts and multiply them for your purposes. Amen. So how will we do God's work in the world this week? I think we continue to think about our neighbors, to show Christ's love by wearing our masks and by social distancing. I think that's something that we can continue to do in this moment. I invite you to join us in our last hymn, Great is Your Faithfulness. God is beside you, even now. May you in the week to come find rest in your God and wake up to God's presence and to know that God surrounds you always. Go in peace. Amen. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning.